in a row to speak here, and on the first of those Sundays I spoke on how to get along with others. That's right now. Okay. How to get along with others. Last Sunday I spoke on how to get along with God. It was called Would You Like a Cigarette? But it was really about how to get along with God. So if there's anyone else left in the universe, then this morning I need to speak about how to get along with that person. Is there anyone else left in the universe? Who's that? It's your... So this morning's message is called How to Get Along with Yourself. And this is not as easy as it seems. It's really hard to get along with yourself for all kinds of reasons. So, the first part, Lord, just come, fill us with wisdom here this morning and give us your insight on this. Getting to know yourself is complicated because, you know, let's, you know, these shows that have these quiz shows on TV where people press a buzzer when they know the answer. Yeah? Let's do that. Now, you don't have to shout the answer, but just, I want you to see yourself pressing the buzzer. You've got someone else in your family, maybe an older brother or sister or a younger brother or sister or someone else. Think about that person. I'm going to ask you a question about that person. Press the buzzer when you know the answer. You don't have to give the answer just when you know the answer. Okay. What's one thing that that person is pretty good at? Have you pressed your buzzer yet? Okay. What's one thing that that person is pretty bad at? Okay. Now, this time the question is about someone else. This time the question is about you. What's one thing that you're pretty good at? What's one thing that you're pretty bad at, you could improve? Were you slower on the buzzer with yourself or with the other person? Some of you haven't pressed the buzzer yet for yourself, have you? Okay. We just find it as you get to know ourselves. There's so much emotion involved. You sort of think, oh, well, I don't want that to be true. We look at someone else, straight away with them, summed up. We can see their faults, see their weaknesses, see their strengths, see their opportunities. But ourselves, you just think, oh, who am I to be thinking like that? Or, you know, we just get complicated when we think about ourselves. So getting to know ourselves is a challenge. But you need to know yourself. I mean, God's the number one person in your life, but you do need to know yourself. You're a big player in your life. You're going to spend every day with yourself. If you don't get on with yourself, it's going to be a real problem in life. It's going to be hard to do what you're put here to do. The Bible says, think about yourself. It does say that. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, our apostle Paul says this. He says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Maybe you thought he was going to go ahead and say, oh no, think of yourself more low than you ought. No, don't do that. Exaggerated conceit and exaggerated humility are both forms of self-absorption. They're not very different. Some people delight in going around saying how terrible they are. Oh, I'm terrible. Oh, I'm terrible. Stop talking about yourself. Oh, I'm brilliant. Oh, I'm brilliant. Stop talking about yourself. They're very similar, those two postures. Okay. Listen, think about yourself as you are. The way you can think about your sibling or someone else. You look at them and say, okay, they're pretty good at that. They're going to improve there. Think about yourself like that. Just think about yourself realistically, the way someone else would. If you're very brave, you can ask someone else what they think of you. Ooh, that would be hard too. So think about yourself as you are, truly. Get to know yourself. What am I like? What am I good at? Again, we tend to exaggerate. We often look at the worst in ourselves and compare that with the best in other people and say, I'm useless. No, you're not useless. Or we look at the best in ourselves and compare that with the worst of someone else and say, they're useless. No, they're not useless. Okay? You're just one of us. We're all the same. We're all humans. Okay. So get to know yourself is the first big challenge in getting along with yourself. Because how can you get along with someone if you don't even know them? And sometimes it's hidden from yourself who you are. I bet you know people and it's hidden from themselves who they are. And you think, if they could see themselves, yeah, well, if we could see ourselves, think how much better we'd get on in life. Okay. The second step in getting on with yourself is to accept yourself. Once you've seen who you are, say, okay, that's me. Now, that can be hard to do because we want to be something. And then we see who we are. No, no, that's not. It's not what it looks like. I might have shouted, but I wasn't angry. Listen, I'll be crying, but I'm not disappointed. We just have a hard time saying, it is what it is. I am who I am. This is God's name. You know that, don't you? His name is I am who I am. Oh, if we could all say that. I am who I am. Instead of trying to present myself as something else. Name drop. To make you think that I'm more socially successful than I am. Or something else. Trying to sort of hide out of the limelight. Some people are afraid of their strengths. They're afraid that if they admit having strengths, they'll be responsible for carrying those strengths. So they pretend to be less than they are. So you ask them to sing a song and they mess it up. Or you ask them to do something and they fail on purpose. So they won't be asked again. They're afraid of the responsibility of carrying the ability that they have inside. So pretend to be worse. Some people pretend to be better. They're all talk about what they can do. Hurler on the ditch. But no, they're not there. Like, none of us are at the very end, at the very pinnacle of success, and none of us are at the very depth of failure. We're somewhere along there. Accept who you are. If you can understand why you are the way you are, it helps. For example, your family upbringing informs you a lot. I grew up in a poor Irish Catholic family. Did you hear those three words? Do you know what each of them means to me? Inferiority. Okay? Poor, not as much as other people. Who am I to do anything to stand up and say something? Irish, you know, let's face it, small little country. Got kicked around by the big colonial powers for centuries. So if we win a football match, we go bananas. We don't expect success because we're small. We feel as we inferior. Or certainly when I was growing up, that was the case. It's changed a bit now. Catholicism tells you, you don't know stuff. You do what you're told. Okay? So everything about my upbringing would tell me, you shut up. Who are you to say anything? I did something last year. One of the most difficult things I ever did. Do you know what I did? I contacted 6 people and I asked them, will you pray for me? So I get a lot of chances to speak, and I'd like to know there's 6 people who'll pray for me, and they won't forget after a week or two, but will pray for me all the time. And I made a little Facebook, and they all said yes. I prayed about who to ask. They all said yes. Then I made a little Facebook group, and do you know what I called it? Pray for James. Because I thought, when they see this, that's what I want them to think, pray for James. That was hard for me to do. I thought, there's me putting myself out there. Who am I to say that I'm doing anything significant? Because it's my background. It's not me, it's my background. Sometimes your background tells you something about yourself, but it's not really you. It's your background. And when you understand why you are the way you are, it helps you come to terms with that and see, well, how much of this is me and how much of this is just what has been said to me or that I've soaked up elsewhere. So accepting yourself is an issue. And the Bible says about accepting, it says this in Romans again. What a book Romans is. If you're only going to read one book in the Bible, read that one maybe. Okay. Romans chapter 15 verse 7 says this. Accept one another then. Just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Why does the Bible tell us to accept one another? Like, why do we need to be told that? Here's why. Because some people are annoying. It says up in verse 1, it says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not just please ourselves. So it talks about people who have weakness and it says, accept them. But our topic this morning, of course, is getting on with yourself. So sometimes you annoy yourself. But the Bible says, accept yourself. I'm annoyed with myself. I wish I was more this. I wish I was more talented. I wish I had more patience. I wish I worked harder. I wish I got up earlier. Accept yourself. This is me. I'm going to get on with this person. Accept yourself. Are we all right out there, people? Okay. So you know yourself. You accept yourself. Next big challenge in life is to manage yourself. Okay? It's a carrot on a stick. Very handy if you want a donkey to go forward. Okay. So, you need to know how to manage yourself. If you know yourself, say, okay, this is what this person needs. Again, for many of us, it would be easier to manage someone else. In fact, half our day is telling other people what to do, some of us. Okay. Not looking at anyone in particular, but that might be you, or that might be people around you. If we can just manage ourselves. The Bible talks about self-control. Back to that in a moment. Here's the thing. If you know yourself, then you know what you need. Let's say, can we have some windows open again? Just, maybe it's me when I preach, or maybe it's just the weather at this time of day. But it gets warm in here. Let's say you're in school. And let's say next year you want to study. 2-hour study in the evenings. I'm going to rock this thing. But then you think, but 2-hour study, I mean, that's just like dying, going in there to my bedroom all alone with books and PlayStations down in the sitting room. And I hate this. And it's only the 1st of September and already you're depressed. Okay. Manage yourself. What do you need to make it work for you? If you know, maybe you're a social person. Maybe you'd be better not studying in the bedroom, but studying in the living room where there's people around you. Not that you're talking, but just because they're there. Some people, when there's people there, they function. When there's nobody there, they don't function. Maybe you need music in your earbuds. Say, but teacher doesn't allow that in class. But you're not in class now. Does this work for you? If it works for you, do it. Maybe you need rewards. Maybe 2 hours is just an impossible eternity for you. So you say, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll start at 8 o'clock. I'll work for 25 minutes. I will then reward myself with 5 minutes off sugar crush candy. Or maybe, what's the pig's one? It's Angry Birds. Angry Birds for 5 minutes. Okay. Now 5 minutes, not for the rest of the night. Okay, so 8 o'clock to 8:25, do some homework all the time thinking, soon I'm going to have Angry Birds. Oh yeah, I like this. I like homework. So now 25 past 8, I suggest you leave the pad in the sitting room so your mom can see you. So you go down there at 8:25, you play for 5 minutes, you go back. Leave the pad in the sitting room. I mean, this is part of it. Manage yourself. Don't be stupid. Don't put silly temptation in front of yourself by having Matt's book, iPad, with Angry Birds right there on the table at the same time. Do it smart. But now you're back, it's 8:30. Now you think, now 25 minutes of maths, then 5 more minutes of Angry Birds. Can't wait to get back Angry Birds. What do I have to do? Have to do this maths. Then you get back. So you're managing yourself. You're learning what works for you. And it works. Instead of, you don't have to make it difficult for yourself. Wow. Little rewards, breaks, whatever it takes. So, motivate yourself, manage yourself. You might have certain weaknesses. See previous slides. We just talked about knowing yourself. Maybe you have a hard time keeping your mouth shut, or you get angry, or you get bored, or something else. Don't put yourself in situations where that's going to be overpowering for you. Just make good choices ahead of time, because you know yourself. You know what you're likely to succeed at. You know where you're likely to fail. Don't do stupid things. Okay? Don't put yourself in situations where stupid things are going to happen. Self-control, it says in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, when you were a child, your mum controlled you. She said, don't do that. Or I'll clobber you. No, maybe she didn't say that. She just said, don't do that, love. And she said to you 10 times, put on your shoes, put on your shoes, put on your shoes. And you were still at the Lego. So someone else put control on you. Now that you're a little bit more mature, you've got this thing called self-control. Listen, you do have self-control. You have it. Use it. You don't have God control. I mean, if I was writing the Bible, and I was writing the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, I might be inclined to say, and God control. You know, the Spirit will control you. The Spirit doesn't control you. The Spirit leads you. You control yourself. You make choices. And you are able to make choices. And you are able to say no. And you are not controlled by other people. And you're with a bunch of people and they say, let's go break some windows. You say, well, I had to go along with them. Because, you know, no, you don't. Even if you're not good at it, you can say, I'm going home now. You don't have to be controlled by other people. You don't have to be controlled by what you did the last time. You have self-control. Let me announce it to you this morning. You have it. You have self-control. You can choose what to do. That's a powerful thing, isn't it? At least you can manage yourself. Even if you can't manage the whole universe, you can manage yourself. Okay. The next thing about getting on with yourself is to take care of yourself, or care for yourself. Again, this is kind of harder if you're a Christian, because if you're a Christian, you think, well, it's all about other people, and like that's good. You know, it's good to love and make others a priority. But you do have to take care of yourself, too. You can't just wreck yourself. You're not the Messiah, you know, who's going to kind of look after everyone else and mistreat yourself. And your needs are legitimate. Sometimes you need a break. Sometimes you need, maybe you have a difficult situation in your family or somewhere else. Sometimes you need to get away and have a good old laugh or a bit of crack. And that's not wrong. That's not a disrespect to the people in your life who are going through tough stuff and with whom you're walking through that tough stuff. You just need it. And where you have needs, you need to address those needs and not just play the martyr. Say, oh no, I'm just here for other people. I'm not going to take the thorn out of my own foot. You need to take care of yourself because you matter, just like they matter. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't say, love your neighbor instead of yourself. You get it? You're just as important as everyone else. So if you're inclined to take on this martyr complex, you need to be delivered from that. Okay. Let me read from the Gospels again. Mark 6:31. Mark, of all people, who was action man. But here he is talking about a little break that came in the proceedings where Jesus was doing a lot of stuff. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, Jesus said to them, come with me by yourselves to a place and get some rest. You need rest. You need sleep. You need food. You need to pursue those things. Now, it turned out in a rather interesting and difficult way. When they got there, their nice respite place where they were planning to have the rest got flooded with people looking for Jesus' help before they got there. So the story's complicated. But here's the thing. Jesus called them aside and said, we need to take some time out here. And you need to do that too. Even if the things you do are worthy and important, you also need to take care of yourself. It's not all one thing or it's not all the other. It's not just an entire life of indulgence, but it's not an entire life of self-sacrificing, self-abuse either. You matter. And if you're here, if you're well, hey, you're better able to help all those other people that are important to you. Okay. Develop yourself. When you were born, you weren't able to read, were you? But now you can. Something happened. You didn't just blob along from day to day and see, well, what happens? Just play and kind of nothing else. You've made something. Helped in this process. Others have provided a template of, hey, here's how we write. Here's how we read. Here's how we bake a cake or whatever things you've learned so far. This is never going to stop. Because you're never perfect, you're always going to be growing and learning. And if you're going to manage yourself properly, part of that is to always be developing. Now, this takes time. And the steps are small. We all want to be a hero, like, now. Okay, I want to be a world-famous singer or footballer or something else, like, in 5 minutes. Yeah, well, go out there and get singing lessons or take pot shots. Spend an hour doing that today and an hour doing it tomorrow. And after doing that for 10,000 hours, you know what? You'll be better at it. What about the magic? This is the magic. The more you practice, the luckier you get. That is the magic. So develop yourself. Set some goals and say, here's something that I'm fairly good at or that I have an interest in. If I work at that, I'll get better at it. Yes, you will. See what it is. What gifts have you been given? What opportunities have you been given? How could you grow that? Huh. And pursue it. And you know what? It'll seem quite slow. And quite a lot maybe of drudgery as you go along. Although if it's a thing you enjoy and you like, you'll have pleasure in doing it. You won't be just waiting for the one big event at the end. You'll be just doing it. And it's a good zone for you to be in because it clicks with your particular gifts. So you pursue that and you grow. And time goes on and you realize someday, gosh, you know, I'm better than I was before at this. And you realize, I'm better than a lot of people at this. I wonder why is that? Duh. It's because you gave yourself to it. You give yourself to it, and it works. It's kind of simple. God makes things grow. He makes you grow, but you've got to work with him on this. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, talk about this. It says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. You have to keep going. I know some people, they're older than me, I've known them for many decades. And they're Christians. And they started well. And God's their judge, I'm not. But in my opinion, they're not finishing well. So whether it's your walk with God or your professional contribution in life, you've got to keep going and developing yourself and not just kind of let yourself go, just get by. Just get by, just the minimum. If you pursue it, you will get closer to it. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him. Not just rooted, but built up too. Jesus said, stay with me, continue to make your home in me. Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So just as you grow in faith, you grow in the other parts of your life too. You develop and you grow and you become more than what happens little by little, bit by bit. And someone who's seen you for a while comes along and says, hey, what is it with you? They realize you've changed slowly over time. Okay, develop yourself and give yourself. Jesus talks about fruit. Let's read that right here. John 15:16. Well, Jesus was talking about this being rooted in him, staying attached to him, taking life from him. He says, John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Bear fruit. Fruit means it's not just that you've got all this health inside, but it gets expressed. You have relationship with Jesus and that comes out in your life. Fruit that brings glory to God. So he says, look at that. Look at that. My kid, just like me. And other people can, eat the fruit. Whatever that means, whatever it is that the life of Jesus that comes out through you that shows people what he's like or what he says or that meets their needs. There's something inside you. A healthy you is not just to be a self-absorbed person. Yes, a healthy person. But your life isn't just a circle that goes only around yourself, but there's fruit. There's an expression. And how to measure fruit and success is not an easy thing to do. Because if you are expressing the life of Jesus, you are being successful. Now, it may impact other people by bringing them into relationship with God. It may impact other people by building them up in their relationship with God. But don't you worry too much about the measurement or the weighing of the fruit. But just you abide in the vine and you bear the fruit. Because this is success, to be an imitator of Jesus. And hey, he didn't look like a success at the high point of his career. Hanging on a cross, naked, friends running away, his enemies laughing at him. It just didn't look like success. And sometimes in life, as you walk with him, it won't look like this is success, but that's success. If you are walking with him in sincerity of heart and faith, holding on to him in love, loving all the ones that he loves, you're doing a good job. Just keep going and bear fruit. So your life gives a fragrance into the world. Your life brings a message into the world of what he's like. So there's the challenge, is to live with ourselves, knowing yourself, accepting yourself, managing yourself, caring for yourself, growing yourself, and giving yourself. Here's the commitment I'd like you to make. I'm on a mission, and the mission is me. Do you want to join me on this mission? So what you're saying is, I'm on a mission, and the mission is me. Here's how it's going to work. Every day you get started, you're going to report twice a day to you there in the mirror. So when you're brushing your teeth in the morning, you're to look at that person in the mirror and say, hey you, we've got a day ahead of us. Okay? Here's what we're going to do today. just start to be deliberate about yourself, how you handle yourself, what you do with your time, with your life, with your opportunities, with your ideas. So don't say it while you're brushing your teeth, because you'll put a lot of, say it, don't spray it kind of thing, you know. Don't spray it on the mirror and have trouble with your mum. She'll send you up there with a sieve. Okay, so here goes. Hey, you in the mirror. This is what we're going to do today. All right, so have a good look at that person in the mirror. Okay? You need to know that person and get along with that person and help that person to manage themselves. This is what we're going to do today. And at the end of the day, maybe you brush your teeth twice. Maybe at the end of the day, go back again and report. It's going to be busy in the bathroom in some houses. Go back at the end of the day and report and say, hey, you in the mirror. Here are some things you did pretty well today. Here are some things that weren't the best choices today. We need to look at those the next time. Now, don't get all discouraged. You will have failures. That's just part of the human condition. Okay, you will have failures. And you will have some repeated failures. Yeah. And you will have some repeated failures in the same area. Yeah, because they're your weaknesses. But don't just say, no, that wasn't me. No, they provoked me. That's why I told you. No. Just look at that person and say, okay, this happened. Wasn't the best. Next time, we'll do this instead. And just by being deliberate about it, you can grow. And after a year of talking to that person in the mirror, you'll be looking at a different person in the mirror. How about that? And the people that that person in the mirror meets, they'll be meeting a different person too. And so we'll go on, as the scripture says, being built up in faith and in fruitfulness because we are deliberate about it. Hallelujah. Lord, we just ask you to come and give insight to every one of us to know how to handle ourselves. We pray you'll give us grace to be honest with ourselves. And we pray you'll just give us encouragement and wisdom and insight in knowing how to manage ourselves and how to make the most of our calling and our opportunity. And we just commit to this. And we ask you, Jesus, to come and join this conversation between me and you there in the mirror. So that as a threesome, we can just see this through. So that when we come to the end of our lives, Lord, like you, Jesus, the one we admire, we can say, Father, I have glorified you on the earth. I have accomplished the work that you've given me to do. Amen. Do you want to finish off the song? We'll finish with a song.